Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have all of you here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service with the doxology, which is found in your red hymnal number 549. The doxology, hymn number 549.
Praise God from
worship is hymn number 691. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made perfect within us. This is how we are sure that we live in God, and God lives in us. He has given us his Spirit. And if we have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, whoever declares that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he lives in God. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 6, Praise Him, Praise Him. Hymn number 6. Chapel. And Lord, we truly do praise you with all the wonderful things that you have done in our lives. But yet, God, we have challenges every day, things that we are trying to overcome, a purpose in life that we're looking for every day to have, that gives us the motivation to desire to serve others and to serve you. Many times, God, we have emotional challenges and physical challenges and spiritual challenges that we're trying to overcome. And it's difficult for us to praise you, God. But you remind us to give thanks and to praise you in all the circumstances that we find ourselves in, when things are easy and when things are difficult, that we are always to give thanks. So God, we're doing that. We're giving thanks, and our desire is to worship you here this morning, and we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, also the needs of family members and of friends, the needs of patients throughout this medical center, the needs of the staff that are working, the needs of the family members that we'll be visiting. And Lord, in the same way that we have asked for ourselves that you hear our prayers and our intentions, Lord, we ask in the same way that you hear their prayers, and we lift them up to you in prayer right now. And Lord, I would ask that you would continue your blessing upon us, that as we sing hymns to you, as we offer our prayers, as we read the scriptures, that you would just bless what we're trying to do, because our desire is to draw closer to you. And we praise you, God, and we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 8, To God Be the Glory. Hymn number 8, To God Be the Glory. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful for the way that we can just praise you and give you honor and place in our lives. And Lord, our desire is for you to always have first place and to be our first priority. And I would ask, God, that you would help us in that desire that we have as we continue to worship, and that you would help me to say the things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't know what type of vehicle you might drive, but the question I want to ask is, do you have bumper stickers or decals on the vehicle that you drive? And what do those bumper stickers and decals, if you do have them on your vehicle, say about you? And the reason why I ask that question is, how many times have you been walking or driving down the road and you see a vehicle in front of you at a stoplight and you notice all the decals that they have on their vehicle? And really, I think if we would ask the person about their decals, they would say it represents things in their lives in which they have some type of commitment to. And I do notice especially vehicles that have military symbols on them. You know, whether it's the Marine Corps, whether it's the United States Navy, whether it's the Army, whether it's the Air Force, whether it's the Coast Guard, whether they've served in the infantry, whether they have been in airborne, whether they have served on a ship. And it's interesting the things that you see in terms of what's on the rear of the vehicle. And I would say specifically dealing with us that are veterans or that are still serving in the military, we notice those symbols. And we know many of them in terms of what they represent. I think it's a commitment that people have made to serve our country, the sacrifices that they have made. And they are very proud of the commitment that they have made. They are very proud of their military service. They are very proud of the sacrifices that they have made for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And they continue that commitment just based on the decals and the bumper stickers that they have, because it is something that is part of their lives. It is something that they are proud of. It is something that identifies them with who they are as a person. And they want to show and to tell others about that same commitment that they have within themselves. In the same way, the scriptures that we have just read this morning talks about the whole idea of a light. The light that represents Jesus Christ in our lives. And what do we do with that light? So in the same way as we have talked about bumper stickers and decals that represent military service, as we think about those, and maybe you have them on your own vehicle, in the same way, the light that is in your life that represents Christ, does it reflect the commitment that you have to God through his Son, Jesus Christ? In the same way, are you willing to show others and to demonstrate to others the commitment that you've made to Christ? Just like you would about your military service, if you have bumper stickers or decals on the back of your vehicle, or if you would put them on the back of your vehicle about your military service, it would reflect that commitment that you've made. What have you done that shows and demonstrates the commitment that you have made to God through his Son, Jesus Christ? And the scriptures give us the example of that light. And if you are that light of Christ, if you have made that commitment to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, then you would not have that light hidden. You would not have something like that where others could not see it. On the contrary, you would want to show that light. You would want that light to help everyone. You would want that light of commitment that you have made to be there to show God's glory in your life, but also to allow other men and women to see in the same way the light that you have, the vision that you have. Because if we ask those who do put military stickers and decals on the back of their vehicles, they would say that they want others to know of their service and sacrifice because they are very proud of it, but yet they want others to know that, right, that they have reflected that commitment, and they want others to have the same type of commitment. In fact, if you go to military-sponsored events where there are veterans, and usually veterans wear something to identify themselves in terms of their service, there is that camaraderie that they share because of the commitment that they have made in their service, regardless of whether they are old or regardless of whether they are still serving and are much younger. There is a identity that is there and reflecting of that commitment of service in the military to our country. And they are not ashamed of it. They do not hide it. God does not want you to be ashamed of your commitment that you have made in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He doesn't want you to hide it. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of it. On the contrary, he wants for you to show it to others so they too can understand and have a commitment to God through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. But it is difficult many times when we look at the reality of our commitment. And in the same way, if we think about our own military service and the reality of the commitment that we made, many times the reality of the commitment can be very difficult and trying. Many of us who have experienced the reality of our commitment of our military service bear the scars, and so do our family members, of some of the things that we have been through. That is the reality of the commitment of service. That is the reality of the light that we show that represents God in our lives. That is the reality many times of our military service and the commitment that we've made. For those of us that have served in harm's way, we understand the reality and the sacrifice that is needed in our service. So we need to understand that when God asks us to be committed to him, that there, perhaps, in that reality of that commitment, a sacrifice will be needed from us. But we should not be afraid of or fear the whole idea of the reality of the commitment that we've made to God. Because if we think about it, the reality of our commitment is just reflecting the honesty and the truth and the trust of what the gospel represents to us. There's no hidden agenda. When God asks you and calls you through the power of his Spirit in your life to become one with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you ask for God to forgive you and you invite Christ into your life, there's no hidden agenda there. It is pretty straightforward. Because when you came to know Christ as your own personal Savior, you realized that somehow you were separated from God and that there needed to be a way in which forgiveness could take place in your life. The forgiveness for our wrongs, my wrongs, your wrongs. The forgiveness that is needed when we come before God just as we are. There was no hidden agenda in that. Just the reality of the commitment that God wanted you to make to Him. And we have sung these hymns this morning about praising God, thanking God for what He has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And if we do not allow that light to shine, then are we truly committed to what Christ represents in our lives? If you're afraid of, if I'm afraid of showing that light that I am a Christian, even though of all my imperfections and all of the different things that I do not get right in my life, but I continue to try to get those things right in my life. Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed? The reality of our commitment demonstrates the fact that we want to be God's followers. And that the way that that light is shown is as we offer ourselves before God just for who we are. God, change me. Make me better. And yes, there are times that effort is required on our part where we have to make a conscious decision to not to do something or to do something as we walk with God that reflects the reality of your commitment to God. If God has asked you to give something up, He is doing that because it is for your own personal betterment, to make you a better person, to make you a better follower, but overall just to make you live better within your own personal lives. And God is always asking me every day to make a conscious decision to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to see the right thing. And I think what's important is for us to reflect that. That as the light of God is shown in our lives, that we are willing to make the effort to do those things. To live a life in which we understand as we are a follower of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we express that way in many different ways by our attitudes and actions with each other. By the things that we think about. Not just the things that we do, but by the things that we think about. Because before we do something, there is a thought process that reveals our actions in terms of who we are. Are our thoughts reflective of us truly living for God the way that He wants us to? Because if they are, then our actions just kind of follows along in that process. And then we see the reality of our commitment to God. We see the desire that God has for us. And if we could put bumper stickers on ourselves, and as people see us from behind, what would they show? What would they reveal about us? Would we be willing to put on their disciple, Jesus follower? Would we be willing to put on the attributes that God wants us to have to be holy, to live at peace with each one, to be patient, to be kind, to be compassionate? Would we be putting those things on us in such a way so that people could really test us to see if our faith is true? And more importantly, the things that we are doing, are they acceptable before God? For you see, for us that light to show, there has to be some type of transformation. You and I that have served in military service, we did not become Marines or soldiers or sailors or airmen just because we signed a contract. We had to go through training. We had to endure some form of discipline. And we had to respond to that training. We had to respond to that discipline in the right way. If you were a Marine, perhaps you remember the crucible that you went through that gives you the eagle, globe, and anchor and what it takes to do that, your final test. If you're a soldier, perhaps it was that final ruck march that you had to make. Perhaps it's reflective of the things that you wear on your uniform, your marksmanship badge, reflective of your training and what the result of that training was as you took that and your own personal aptitude and ability to fulfill what was required. God reminds us that in that transformation that we have to do some things. We have to take that training. We have to respond to that training. We have to learn from that training. We have to be disciplined in our training. Because that transformation doesn't just take place in that moment of time when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. It's the beginning of the transformation that God wants to work in your life. It's the beginning of the renewal of your mind that God wants you to work on all the days of your life. Because that process of transformation and the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus is a continuous process. And then we see, as we understand that, as that transformation is beginning to take place, that the light of God is being shown in our lives. And people are attracted to it. People are seeing things about ourselves that are different. Other followers of Jesus Christ identify with you, and you identify with them, and you have that camaraderie, you have that fellowship as being the one in Christ. And you praise God for all of the wonderful things that are taking place in your life. And as your light is being shown, and as others come to see you in that light, you feel and you sense the mercies of God that He has provided you. The grace that He has given you. The grace that He has given me. And we discover God in a wonderful way that we never thought we could ever understand or comprehend. Knowing God in a very personal and intimate way. Knowing God that as the light is shown, that it just gets better. Because we see how the light is shown in our lives and we discover God more and more. Because God takes us along that journey, God takes us along that path, and He does so in the light of Him. And then we begin to see that plan that God has for us. We begin to understand what it means to follow His will. Many times we can't explain it. Because the will of God for me may be different than the will of God for you. But yet we share the common ground, we share the common bond, we share the common light of what Christ represents in our lives. And we just can do nothing more than just praise God and thank Him for what He has done in our lives. And then we see, as we are walking with God, all of the wonderful things that God wants us to be. Producing the righteousness that God wants us to produce, not in terms of a self-righteous attitude, but just trying to do those things to be right with God and to be right with others. And then as that light shows, we see that we are desiring to promote what we believe in. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, things begin to change in our lives. And as those changes take place, we see that we are ready and willing to proclaim what God has done. The transformation that is ongoing within your life. And we begin to exercise those things in our lives that God has given us. Those special abilities that God has given you that He has given no one else. The special abilities that He's given me that He's given nowhere else and no one else. And that is the uniqueness that we have with God as being part of God's creation. God wants us to do those things and to exercise those gifts so that others can come to know Him. So that we can give glory to God that the good works that we do is not because we're trying to earn our way into some type of relationship with God. It's just reflective of who we are. The good works come because of our desire to want to do and to practice the will of God by showing that light, that spiritual light of our life with God, that spiritual life that God wants us to give to others. And as we think about our light, we should pause and reflect of what it means. Many times the light in our life grows dim because we do stupid things. We make bad decisions. But if you have come to know Christ as your personal Savior, that light never goes out. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Regardless of how dim you think that light might be, that light never goes out if you have trusted Christ as your own personal Savior. That light is always there. God just wants you to show that light to yourself first, to return to the light that God wants you to have, and then you begin to demonstrate that light to others, and it's totally reflective of the glory and the praise that you have for God. So our light is always there. Let it shine. Let it be reflective of the commitment that you have made to God. Let it be reflective of the reality of your commitment to God. Let it be reflective of your desire that you truly have been changed and transformed as a follower of His Son, Jesus Christ. And let that light shine. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion, which gives us a wonderful opportunity to publicly demonstrate that the light of God is in our life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this opportunity to praise you and to worship you. We are so thankful that we have an opportunity to show the light that you have provided to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, forgive us when our light has gone dim. Forgive us for the times when we have wanted to cover it up. Forgive us, Lord, for the stupid things that we have done, the wrong decisions we have made, the sins that we have committed. Allow us, God, to be transformed by that light and by this act publicly, that we know your Son, Jesus Christ, as our own personal Savior. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 12, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Hymn number 12, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Reminded us how you want us to always be in the light. Thank you, God, for that reminder. Give us the strength that we need to have each day to allow that light to shine in our lives, because it is truly the best way that we can live. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549, the doxology. Worship is hymn number 668. Incline your ear, Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Guard my life, I am faithful. Give help to your servant who trusts you. Have mercy, O Master my God, for to you I continually cry. Give joy to the life of your servant, for to you, O Master, I dedicate my life. You, O Master, are good and forgiving, pouring kindness on those who cry out. Listen, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the sound of my plea. I call you when I am in trouble, for you answer me. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 209. We have a story to tell the nations. Number 209. We have a story to tell the nation. God, Lord, we want to thank you that we have this opportunity to come and worship you. And Lord, we are so thankful that you see that we're here because we desire to draw closer to you through the hymns that we sing, the prayers that we offer, the scriptures that we read. And Lord, you know that we're doing the best that we can do. And Lord, we know that you will honor that because you deserve the praise that we can give you. And God, we are doing that right now. Lord, part of that act of worship is to let you know about the needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, you remind us again and again in your scriptures that no need is too small or too great because you always want us to come to you in prayer. Lord, we have challenges. You've given us responsibilities and duties. But God, sometimes we don't feel that we're up to those new responsibilities or to those challenges. And Lord, we confidently call upon you to give us the strength that we need to have. And God, we know that through you we are doing the right thing as we want to accomplish your will for our lives. But Lord, many times we just feel so weak and inadequate, and we need your strength. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives to give us the wisdom and the vision that we need to have to see through these challenges and come out on the other side victorious, not because of our own strength, but because of the strength that you give us in spirit and truth. Lord, we think of family members and friends. We think of fellow patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we ask that you give them that same wisdom and that same vision, that same power and strength of spirit as they too are facing challenges and responsibilities that you have given them, and they don't feel adequate or up to the task. Give them that clearness that they need to have to turn to you in all things. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Number 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for me. I'll hail Him as our matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love. Behold His hand and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, then all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His peers speak fair flowers of a paradise destined their rainbow sweet. Crown Him the Lord of years, the
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have accepted our act of worship, that our hearts and minds are focused on the things of you. And Lord, I would ask that you would help me to maintain that focus so that your will for our lives can be evident through the Spirit that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me now, I pray. Amen. The scriptures that we have just read tells us that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have to be committed to a message of reconciliation. But what does that mean? Reconciliation. And that we have that responsibility to tell others of that reconciliation that God has given each and every one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that message needs to include the fact that God loves each and every one of us so much that he gave his only Son so that you and I have fellowship and communion with God by the forgiveness of our sins. So the message of reconciliation for us needs to be one of forgiveness. Forgiveness that we take and make a part of our own individual lives. You and I have made mistakes. You and I have done wrongs that we are ashamed of. But yet God tells us that he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile each and every one of us to himself. And he extends that forgiveness to us. But we need to accept it. We need to embrace that forgiveness. And what does that mean, to embrace God's forgiveness? It's understanding that God forgives us for whatever we have done, and that his mercy and grace is there for us to receive it. But many times we feel, because of the wrongs that we have done, the sins that we have committed before man and before God, that we don't deserve that type of forgiveness. The answer to that question is yes. You and I don't deserve that type of forgiveness. We deserve to be punished. But yet God tells us, that's why I am sending my Son, my only Son, to die on the cross for the wrongs that you have done, for the wrongs that I have done, for the sins that you have committed, for the sins that I have committed, because he loves us. And he wants us to take that forgiveness and to make it a part of our lives. That debt that we have to repay before God has been repaid because of Christ. And we need to believe that. You need to believe that. I need to believe that. We need to be able to forgive ourselves for the wrongs that we have done because God forgives us because God loves us. And when we understand that process within our own individual lives, and then and only then can we provide and give that same message of reconciliation to others. And that message will be seen by how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives. Understand this, even though if there are people in your life that will never be able to forgive you for what you've done, God forgives you. God forgives you, and God tells you that the wrong that you have done, the wrong that I have done, is no more. Because I want you, and God wants me, to give that message of reconciliation, that message that begins with forgiveness. And it's understanding that we should have an appreciation that the love of God has for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the reality of our lives is seen by whether or not we understand and whether we are telling others about the message of reconciliation that God has provided. The reality of our lives is in that message of reconciliation. And part of that is for us to understand that we also have to be able to forgive others that have wronged us. For you see, reconciliation is a two-sided coin. Not only is it for us, but God tells us that it is for others too. Because once we have understood that God has forgiven us, the next step is for us to be able to forgive those that have wronged us. And then the message of reconciliation becomes complete, and only then. And it is reflected in our attitude, in terms of how we see the world, how we filter through when we observe things in the news, how we filter through the actions of others within our own lives. It's the attitude of understanding that forgiveness always needs to be there. And because of our love for Christ, all of a sudden we have an ability, an aptitude to be able to forgive others because we know that God has forgiven us completely. An aptitude and an understanding that we thought we could never have because we were so down on ourselves. We felt so unworthy. We felt so burdened because of what we have done. But yet in that aptitude that God has given us, we see that that burden has been lifted. That you and I can get up and walk forward with our lives because we have been healed because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Just as Christ healed people in the New Testament in the same way, He tells us as we are healed of our sins to get up and walk forward because we no longer are burdened by the wrongs that we have done. And we have that aptitude to go forward because God wants us to respond in the action of our lives that we have incorporated and that we have appreciated the love of Christ. But I would say there's one more step that we have to take to understand the message of reconciliation, and that is not only just to appreciate the love of Christ, but to want the love of Christ in our lives, to desire the love of Christ, to wantonly seek it, to wantonly want it to be a part of our lives in everything we do and everything that we say. Because then in wanting it, we see that God holds us accountable. He holds us accountable in a good way. He holds us accountable because He wants our lives to be better than they were before. God wants your life and my life to be better than it was yesterday. And the way that we get there is when we hold each other accountable and understand that God holds us accountable as his followers, as his disciples. Because under no time in that accountability should you and I feel foreign from God, to be alien from God, to be set apart from God. On the contrary, during that accountability process, God reminds us of how much he loves us. That's why he wants us to hold us accountable. It's not a sense of punishment. It's not a sense of you've done a bad thing and I'm going to whip you. It's an accountability that shows, you know what, I love you and I want you to stay on the right track. I want you to stay on the right path. I want your journey in life to be a good one. I want it to be better than it was the day before. And we see it under that path of accountability, that we are not foreign or alien before God because of the forgiveness that he gives us. And then that message of reconciliation needs to include the whole idea that we trust God for the things in our lives. We trust God in our desire to follow God's will for our lives. For you see, we understand that within that message of reconciliation, that the whole idea is for us to be motivated by the love of God. Because trust has to be added to the forgiveness that God has given you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you trusting God in all of the circumstances that you have in your life? Are you trusting God that God truly does love you and accepts you just the way that you are? Are you trusting God to guide your next step? Are you trusting God to give you the strength that you need to have to face those challenges and to go through them? Are you trusting God that whatever the next step will be, whatever the next day will bring, that you go forth with confidence even though you don't know what that next day is going to be? Because you understand that you are trusting God. And the way that you know whether you are trusting God or not in that part of that reconciliation is, do you have fear about tomorrow? Are you afraid about tomorrow? If you are, then I would ask you to consider whether you're trusting God in those circumstances. Because when we trust God, the fear may not totally disappear. The anxiety that we may be experiencing may not totally be gone. But we know that it is tempered down because of the fact that we're looking to God and we're trusting in God. For whatever happens tomorrow is part of God's will and part of God's plan. And then we see within that message of reconciliation how much we need to think about the love of God that he has for us. Is God in your heart this morning? Are you thinking about God? Are you reflecting on how much you love God? Are you meditating on the understanding of that love? Because the Word of God tells us that you need to be thinking about God all of the time. All of the time, God needs to be a part of your life. Because then you see that message of reconciliation. We have taken the forgiveness that God has given us. We've asked for power and strength to be able to trust God in all of the circumstances. And then as those two things come together, forgiveness and trust, we truly see the reconciliation message that God has for us, the true application of the love of Christ in our lives, and we become complete. We have a sense of confidence, of courage, of conviction, because we are convinced that God loves us for who we are. And then we see that benefit of reconciliation. We see, as we are able to move forward, what God has committed to each and every one of us. We become convinced, even though at times we may doubt the circumstances in our lives. We become convinced and committed that, God, maybe I can't see everything that's taking place in my life and how it's going to end up. But I know that I have received that message of reconciliation. I have received your forgiveness. I have put my trust in you. I know that I am one with you because of the Holy Spirit that is in my life. I am applying the love of Christ as I deal with other people, as I deal with my own self. I am convinced and committed that you are with me. I am reconciled. And then we see things that we have never understood before. Those questions, many of them, all of a sudden become answered, because we're seeing circumstances and things that are taking place not through our own eyes, but through the eyes of God. And we see what it means to be one with God. We live a life that all of a sudden, the things that we thought were impossible all of a sudden become a natural way of doing things. A natural course of action to love each other. A natural course of action to forgive. Because we truly understand what that is to be reconciled to God. And we become and experience that love. Because that's how we are changed. That's how we are that new creation. That's how we can say that the old things have passed away and the new things have come. The new things of the reconciliation of Christ. And we understand that everything is from God. And that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be one with God. And he does not count anything against us, because we have been made holy in righteousness because of Christ on the cross. And then we see the efforts that God has made in our own personal lives. And we're able to walk forward with our head high, not out of arrogance or out of self-righteousness, but out of humbleness and humility, because we know that the power of God is in our lives. And we are able to overcome those challenges that we are facing because of that message of reconciliation. It is my hope and prayer that all of us, that you and I, embrace that message of reconciliation every day, because it gives us that desire to be one with God in all things. Amen. Please take a moment and prepare your hearts for communion as we desire to publicly say, Lord, we have heard that message of reconciliation. We have received it, and we are one with you. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you give us this opportunity to publicly testify to the fact that we want to be one with you through the act of communion. And Lord, we are just so thankful for your love. We are so thankful that you have reconciled us to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for that process of forgiveness, of trust, and of love. Amen. received from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 442, "Have Thine Own Way." 442. Give us every opportunity to have things your way in our lives. And God, help us to embrace that message of reconciliation so that you can be in our lives every day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.